Letter to Mavis Webb, Winson Green Hospital, Birmingham, 11th of the 1st, 1954. Dear Mavis, please forgive me for having failed to send that Christmas and New Year letter to you and all the family. As usual, I am chock full of righteous excuses, but this isn't the sort of letter, nor indeed the time of the year, for a long, sad relay of 'em. Let's simply say poor godforsaken Frank has been in a bit of strife again. Don't worry, I've done nothing for you to feel ashamed of, but have simply been locked away over the past 5 months, unable to touch my bank account, hence no address, no postcard. I am still told nothing as to the date of my release, and can see no lawyer or magistrate, but please God, I'll soon be a free man again. No more hospitals if this bloke can help it. A quiet, steady job on an English farm is the plan, and then will come your long-awaited letters. In the meantime, pray for me, and look after yourself, dear. God bless. Your loving brother, Frank.
A death at Winson Green. There is a green spell stolen from Birmingham. Your peering omnibus overlooks the fence, or the grey, bobbing lifelines of a tram. Here, through the small hours, sings our innocence. Joists, apathetic pillars plot this ward. Tired timbers wheeze and settle into dust. We labour, labour. For the treacherous lord of time, the dazed historic sunlight, must be wheeled in a seizure towards one gaping bed, quake like foam on the lip, or lie still as the dead. Visitor's Day. The graven perpetual smile, string bags agape, and pity's laundered glove. The last of the heathens shuffles down the aisle, dark glass to a beauty which we hate and love. Our empires rouse against this ancient fear, long sufferings, anecdotes, levelled at our doom. Mind tracks of old allegiance, prying here, perplex the sick man, raving in his room. Outside, a shunting engine hails from bed the reminiscent feast day, long since dead. Noon reddens, trader birds deal cannily with Winson Green, and the slouch-hatted sun gapes at windows netted in wire. And we, like early kings with book and word, cast down realities from our squared electric shore. Two orderlies are whistling in the spring. Doors slam, and a man is dying at the core of triumph won. As a tattered, powerful wing, the screen bears out his face against the bed, silver, derelict, wrapped, and almost dead. Evening gropes out of colour. Yet we work to cleanse our shore from limpet histories. Traffic and factory whistle turn berserk. Inviolate, faithful as a saint he lies. Twilight itself breaks up, the venal ship, upon the silver integrity of his face. No bread shall tempt that fine, tormented lip. Let shadow switch to light. He holds his place, unmarked, unmoving. From the gaping bed towards birth he labours, honour, almost dead. The wiry cricket moiling at his loom debates a themeless project with dour night. The sick man raves beside me in his room. I sleep as a child, rouse up as a child might. I cannot pray. That fine lip prays for me with every gasp at breath. His burden grows heavier as all earth lightens and all sea. Time crouches, watching, near his face of snows. He is all life, thrown on the gaping bed, blind, silent, in a trance, and shortly dead.
Hospital night. The side room has sweated years and patience, rolls its one eye skyward, nightward. Hours beyond sleep I lie, and the fists of some ardent plimsoll have labored this wall clear of its plaster beside my chosen head. Someone murmurs a little, dithers in bed. Against that frail call are imminent the siege works of a huge nightfall. Trees, drawn up, rustle forward in the steep time of gloaming. Crude green labors, gathers itself to a darkness, dreaming of perished ice-world summers, birds few, unwieldy, tame. Darkness is astir, pondering, touching kinship with the first dark in a trunk's crouching. Darkness lays claim to that vague breath labor of a century. My name. Someone calls again in his sleep, and my thought is pain. Pain, till Chanticleer will carol truce again to the faceless joustings of green and green by an old cell with time round about and labouring shapes of sin, to the knotted fists of lightning or tilting rain, to the winds lapse and swell, all diehards of whom the birds shiver to tell. Sleep is a labour amid the dilatory elder light. But now a star is uttered in the long night, pitched beyond altercations of tree and storm. For these, isled upon time, a murmuring, murmuring ever of good or evil becoming a darkness. But never darkens that star, housed in a glory, yet always a wanderer. 'Tis pain, truth. It is you, my father, beloved friend, come to me in the guile and darkness of a day's end. As a frail, intense blue burning near nor far. My hands were stripped from the keyboard of time. They favour white notes nor black, but they glitter and glitter of a lover, as out of war I labour. Breathing deeply, and tremble towards your star. Letter to Leonie Webb from David Rice Hospital, Norwich, 9th of the 1st, 1958. Dear Dolly, your grand letter has been read and reread. Now for my news. All I can say is that we had bacon for breakfast this morning. Christmas was pleasant. I spent the day with a Catholic social worker and his family. I had a mass said for you and the family. Please do excuse the lack of presence. My days are mainly spent in a condition of wild and romantic hope that some saintly figure or figures may get me back to Aussie and poetry. Serves me right for leaving the place. The only thing to do, as you suggest, is to wait patiently and pray very hard. Don't you too forget me in your prayers, please. Believe me, it's flaming cold, if that particular phrase isn't too contradictory. I have written a sort of long poem about the beginning of electrical treatment. I've sent a copy to Australia. Now what happens? I'm having a full course of that treatment. No use telling the doctor that I don't like it all that much. A happy and peaceful year to you. Your loving brother, Frank.
Five Days Old, for Christopher John. Christmas is in the air. You are given into my hands, out of quietest, loneliest land. My trembling is all my prayer. To blown straw was given all the fullness of heaven. The tiny, not the immense, will teach our groping eyes. So the absorbed skies bleed stars of innocence. So cloud voice in war and trouble is at last Christ in the stable. Now wonderingly engrossed in your fearless delicacies, I am launched upon sacred seas, humbly and utterly lost in the mystery of creation. Bells, bells of ocean. Too pure for my tongue to praise, that sober, exquisite yawn, or the gradual, generous dawn at an eyelid, maker of days. To shrive my thought for perfection, I must breathe old tempests of action. For the snowflake and face of love, windfall and word of truth, honor close to death. O eternal truthfulness, dove, tell me what I hold. Myrrh, frankincense, gold. If this is man, then the danger and fear are as lights of the inn, faint and remote as sin, out here in the manger. In the sleeping, weeping weather, we shall all kneel down together.
Letter to Leonie Webb, Ward M8, the hospital, Parramatta, 24th of February, 1961. My dear Dolly, a great joy indeed to hear from you. Forgive my lazy pen. All kinds of worries have kept me from writing lately. Yes, I'm back in Aussie, securely locked up for the public good. But sometimes we hear a kookaburra here. I'd love to be free, with a private furnished room or tin shed for my books and records and poetry, and a steady out-of-doors job. Pray hard, my dear. I know well that you would sign me out of here if it were possible. But at least meals are fair. There's a mass once a fortnight. There's something like a library, and I can fill in much of my time by working in the hospital's piggery. And amid a veritable concatenation of noise, I've written a short, rough poem, which the Bulletin has accepted. God knows when I'll see a bit more of Australia. But things could be much worse. God bless you and all in your care. Your loving brother, Frank.
Ward 2. Harry. It's the day for writing that letter, if one is able. And so the striped institutional shirt is wedged between this holy, holy chair and table. He has purloined paper. He has begged and cadged the bent institutional pen, the ink. And our droll old men are darting constantly where he weaves his sacrament. Sacrifice, propitiation, all are blent in the moron's painstaking fingers, so painstaking. His vestments are giddy yarns of the firmament, women, gods, electric trains, and our remaking of all known worlds. But not yet has our giddy alphabet perplexed his priestcraft and spilled the cruet of innocence. We have been plucked from the world of common sense, fondling between our hands some shining lute, wife, mother, beach, fisticuffs, eloquence. As the lank tree cherishes every distorted shoot, what queer shards we could steal shaped him, realer than the real. But it is no goddess of ours guiding the finger and the thumb. She cries, ab eterno ordinata sum. He writes to the woman, this lad who will never marry. One vowel, and the thousand laborious seraphs will come to this pudgy Christ, and the old shape of Mary. Before seasonal pelts and the thin, soft, tactile underskin of air were stretched across earth, they have sported and are one. Was it then at this altar stone the mind was begun? The image besieges our Troy. Consider the sick convulsions of movement and the featureless, baldy sun insensible, sparing that compulsive nervous tick. Before life, the fantastic succession, an imbecile makes his confession, is filled with the word unwritten, has almost genuflected. Because the wise world has forever and ever rejected him. And because your children would scream at the sight of his mongrel mouth, stained with food, He has resurrected the spontaneous, thought-retarded, and infantile light. Transfigured with him, we stand among walls of the no-man's land, while he licks the soiled envelope with a lover's caress. Directing it to the house of no known address.
Letter to Rosemary Dobson from Bloomfield Hospital, Orange, 21st of the 4th, 1962. My dear Rosemary, you have forgiven me before, and I entreat you to forgive me yet again for this wicked delay in writing. Honestly, my dear, all sorts of things have been happening. Firstly, I've been transferred to the new hospital above, and it turns out that I write from the best mental hospital that I've seen. The landscape in this part, just on the edge of the Blue Mountains, is green and lovely. And also, during the last 2 weeks, I have had a full course of electrical treatment, and it's just today that I can presume to dream a little of poetry and to answer your last two delightful letters. Your two photographs of Ian are exquisite. Nan has already given me some account of the christening. How lovely it would have been to play some tiny part in it. Try not to tell that gentle little creature that one of his godparents is a screw loose somewhere. Rosemary, is there the faintest chance that you might bring Ian right out here to see me? It seems veritable years since I could look upon a child, the purest and most beautiful image on earth. Again, sincerest thanks. Every joy of this most wonderful season to you and yours always. Always, too, my deepest thanks for your great charity. Sincerely, Frank Webb.
Ward 2. Wild Honey. Saboteur autumn has riddled the pampered folds of the sun. Gum and willow whisper seditious things. Servile leaves now kick and toss in revolution, wave bunting, die in operatic reds and golds. And we, the drones, fated for the 100 stings, grope among chilly combs of self-contemplation, while the sun, on sufferance, from his palanquin, offers creation one niggling lukewarm grin. But today is sports day, not a shadow of doubt. Scampering at the actual frosty feet of winter, under shavings of the pensioned blue, we are the spring. True, rain is about. You mark old diggings along the arterial street of the temples, the stuttering eyeball, the residue of days spent nursing some drugged comatose pain. Summer, autumn, winter, the single sheet of rain. And the sun is carted off, and a sudden shower. Lines of lightning patrol the temples of the skies. Drum, thunder, silence, sing as one this day. Our faces return to the one face of the flower, sodden and harried by die-hard disconsolate flies. All seasons are crammed into pockets of the grey. Joy, pain, desire, a moment ago set free, sag in pavilions of the grey finality. Under rain, in atrophy, dare I watch this girl, combing her hair before the grey, broken mirror, the golden sweetness trickling. Her eyes show awareness of my grey stare beyond the swirl of golden fronds. It is her due. And terror, rain-like, is all involved in the golden glow. playing diminuendo its dwarfish role between self-conscious fingers of the naked soul. Down with the mind a moment, and let Eden be fullness without the prompted unnatural hunger, without the doomed shapely ersatz thought. See faith as all such essential gestures, unforbidden, persisting through fall and landslip. And see, stranger, the overcoated concierge of death as a toy for her gesture. See her hands, like bees, store golden combs among certified hollow trees. Have the gates of death scrape open. Shall we meet, beyond the platoons of rainfall, a loftier hill hung with such delicate husbandries? Shall ascent be a travelling homeward, past the blue frosty feet of winter, past childhood, past the grey snake, the will? Are gestures stars in sacred dishevelment? The tiny, the pitiable, meaningless and rare, as a girl beleaguered by rain and her yellow hair.
Letters to Nan MacDonald, Rydalmere Hospital, Sydney, 1973. 9th of October. My dear Nan, I hate to seem to be making a convenience of you, especially at a time when you have been ill, but I have to make a request of you. Only be certain that if you can't comply with it, I will fully understand. The enclosed poem is my first for several years, but just out of sheer perversity, I'm thinking of sending it to the Sydney Morning Herald. However, my typewriter has been lost, and here I have no means of typing it out. If you think, as I'm inclined to do, that it's no good, please send this copy back by post and forget all about it. Do likewise if you are too tired to sit at the typewriter. But if you think there's some little thing in it, could you possibly type out a copy and carbon copy and send them to me as soon as you can? Again, my sincerest apologies for asking this of you during a time of deep malaise. And yet again, don't be saddened if you must refuse. Your daily prayers are working wonders for me. I am sleeping better and feel serene and content. May Mary's mantle be ever about you. All my love. Yours, Frank. 12th November. My dear Nan, today I enjoyed a rare treat. Rosemary came to visit me, accompanied by David Campbell. How fortunate we are in our friends, dear. Rosemary was herself, enough said, so gentle, good, with that visionary touch of hers. David, who I thought had forgotten me, was kind and patient and courteous. I worship his poetry. Rosemary gave me an autographed copy of a new poem of hers. Absolutely lovely. And they liked my St. Maria Goretti poem and suggested Southerly is the place to send it to. Think I'll take this advice. Our hospital gardens are now all ablaze with colour, and Rosemary loved our jacaranda trees. May Mary, health of the sick, watch over you. And don't forget the prayers for me. With all my love, Frank.
'St. Maria Goretti was a 12-year-old girl from the town of La Ferriere, south of Rome,
who was stabbed to death by a peasant for refusing to submit to his advances. She was taken to the nearest hospital in Nettuno, where she lay for 2 days before she died, with her little sister Teresa beside her, fully pardoning her assailant.
Lament for St. Maria Goretti. 6 o'clock. The virginal belly of a screen winces before the blade, the evening wind. Diluted, a star twitches like a puddle on scoured hygienic stone. All of the documents, signed and countersigned, and truce to a cruel war. Wreckage gesticulates. Toothless broken ships. Meteorite. Cherubim. Horsemen in the wash of space round the petty bays of this child's face. Teresa, it is easier now. But the chloroform comes like a stiletto to our gasping void. Sometimes you look lovely swimming there beside me, while chloroform unravels the holy lines of your face. I would take you into my hands to remold you, shape you, but the pain. See, Teresa, my father Luigi is coming out of the cemetery. But the chloroform holds, shouldering away the earth. He touches his little cross with his lips. I am crying, and a flight of birds hangs like a rosary. He is smiling, but the chloroform will dissolve him. Six o'clock. The bells of Nettuno chime, Angelus. Ave to Ave, hand to hand. The buckets of sound are passed in slow time up to thirsting land. Again the breeze at the hospital window flutters in lace near the thirsting wilderness of this child's face. Touch me, Teresa. You know you often asked me why I was in tears at Mass before the communion. I seemed to see him there, heaving up to Golgotha, and rising and falling. I stood there mocking him, like when I stole 2 spoonfuls of Angelino's polenta. You haven't committed a sin, said the kind old priest. 3 times he fell. The last note of the Angelus falls with him. I am falling with him. Must I fall with him into the chloroform?
Take up your cross.
Touch me, Teresa, quickly.
6 o'clock. There may be a moon tonight. At dead Ferriere twitches the comatose star. A peasant knows the early mosquito bite, like a stiletto into his wincing ear. The suave, impersonal light trails its skirts over marshland. No mourners here. And nothing mourns at Nettuno. Feel the embrace of nothing, scrambling ashore at this child's face.
Teresa, he's coming.
Don't. You will go to hell.
Teresa, I can still see you. Ferriere is closing in. The chloroform works at you. The dainty Corinaldo where I was born. I can hardly read or write. But your breast is our little pet hill. Your hair like shadows of clouds on our grain. Your mouth like a watercourse. Have you spoken? Have words of water been truly uttered to my thirst? It's this drumming,
drumming in my ears. Teresa, I am going. Teresa, to the last, be Corinaldo. All my life writing me on earth. Let my hands reach you. I can hardly sign my name. My signature. My scrawl. No, wait. Teresa. Teresa.
Six o'clock. And the Miserere. Final grace. And death and the woman, strangely at one, will place ambiguous fingers on all of this child's face.